I am Mark Jacobin, along with my brother James, and this is Extemporaneously. In this episode, we will talk about the latest competition between Clown A and Clown B, with a small side topic of Clown C. Clown A being the presumptive presidential nominee for the Republican Party, Clown B the presumptive presidential nominee for the Democrat Party, and Clown C roaming the country at large. Following the inauguration of Clown B in 2021, Clown A held unprecedented control of the Republican Party along with a 68% favorability rating among Republicans. James, at that point in time, you said Clown A was unbeatable in the primaries and unwinnable in the general election. 3 years later, you have been proven correct about Clown A being unbeatable in the primaries. What is your current assessment of the prediction that he would be unwinnable in the general election?
In this age of political correctness, Mark, I think you're being very insulting to clowns, okay?
This is probably true, but they don't have a very big lobby.
Do the clowns have this coming, right? What did they ever do to deserve this? They try and entertain people and make people laugh.
I'm entertained, if nothing else.
Yeah, I'm certainly entertained. Yes, Mark, I have said for a long time that former President Trump is unbeatable in the primaries for various reasons, of which I will not get into here, but most likely can't win a general election. However, if anything, the Trump era, and I define the Trump era from 2015 and the escalator ride in June of 2015 to now, is anything's possible in this new American modern politics. You know, the new American body politic, if you will. Joe Biden has proven himself to be equally, if not in some ways worse, than the 4 years of the Trump presidency. So anything is possible. Mark, 4 years ago on our other podcast, Truth and Other Lies, you had us do a show called Really Old People. What's the big word for that?
Octogenarians.
There we go.
Oh, no, they were septuagenarians back then.
Yeah, but they're even older now.
Right? Yes.
At that time, I called it a 50-50 election because COVID had just happened. And had COVID not happened, I think, you know, President Trump is still in the White House. You know, we didn't start the fire. But COVID happened, and we're a couple weeks into it. And immediately, I recognized that, oh, if this guy's good at anything, it's at screwing everything up, Donald Trump. And so we called it a 50-50 election. Turned out to be a little more in favor of Biden than 50-50. And when Biden gets elected, I was certain that we would not see a Trump-Biden rematch. I joked around about it with people. I said, well, you know, if Biden does win, we could get the old Trumpster fire back for a rematch in 2024. But I thought it highly unlikely and improbable based on one thing and many others after. One is their age. And I don't care if you want to call me an ageist. I don't even believe that exists. Mark, there's a reason you can't be an airline pilot past a certain age. There's a reason there's a mandatory retirement age in the U.S. military and in other industries for physical reasons, mental reasons, and practical reasons. I'm shocked, aren't you, that these two idiots who should be retired, both of them, are now running for president as the oldest and the second oldest candidates ever, breaking their own record of 4 years ago. And based on that alone, Mark, one of these guys, Joe Biden, will be president until he's almost 90 if he wins the re-election, and Trump is right behind him. I mean, just for practicality, this is insane.
And we thought Ronald Reagan was old.
Yeah, or John McCain. And I remember back in the year of our Lord, 2008, right? Ooh, John McCain at 71. Is that guy, you know, is he going to? And it turns out he did live another 8 years. I know they say Trump and Biden are both alive, but I'm not so sure. It feels like Weekend at Bernie's or Weekend at Biden and Trump's house. Like, Mark, what do you think about this? I mean, before we even get into the buffoonery of it all, just the age question for both of them is a legitimate question, right? And I'm not talking about the 59-year-old mill worker or tech industry employee that gets pushed out of their job so they don't have to be paid retirement, although unfortunate. There's laws that protect them from that. This is the presidency of the United States, and we're in a very critical era with stuff popping off around the world. What do you think America's thinking by even entertaining the ideas of these two jokers?
Well, first of all, those ageist laws actually don't work. I actually have an acquaintance who was around 64 years of age when his company decided his services were no longer required, and he was forced into a somewhat early retirement. And I was commiserating with him, and I said, you know, that's just tough luck. I said, you're too old to be in the workforce and just not yet old enough to run for president. As far as the American people go and their opinion on the age of the presidents, apparently they don't care. They voted for these two clowns in the primaries, caucuses, whatever they have, that wonderfully efficient modern system that the Democrats have of going to a school gym and sitting in the bleachers and playing musical chairs until they identify their desired candidate. The Republicans are slightly more modern that they scratch an X on a piece of paper and drop it in a box. They voted for those guys. So obviously, age is not an issue or as much of an issue as, gee, I don't want that other guy in the office. The only person I think is going to win is the codger in my on my team. So I'll vote for my team because I'd rather have codger A than codger B. I can imagine that's the only rational argument.
There is no rational argument for this, Mark. Getting back to you, I can't let you get away with this, Mark Jacobin. The Democrats pooling up in gyms in Iowa, right? Remember, these same people stole the election from the Republicans. So whatever they're doing in these gymnasiums, they're onto something, huh?
Maybe I've overrated high school gymnasiums. There are elections to be found in the bleachers, under the bleachers. Maybe we should call my friend Seymour Butts.
You have a subset of Republican voters. They refer to themselves as MAGA proudly, so I will too, right? That actually believe the Democratic Party in those gymnasiums rigged the presidential election on the scale that makes our JFK series about the Oswald conspiracy or lack of conspiracy over on the other network that we're on look stupid, right? They really believe it. And then you have a subsection of the Democratic Party that proudly identifies themselves as the wokies or being woke. So I'll refer to them as that. They think Donald Trump and anyone who doesn't speak out against him is actually a Nazi. And Mark, these are quotes I'm pulling out of other people who actually have jobs on television for major networks with three letters on them on each side of this argument. And this is how they discuss things. And they push it down the throats of news watchers or cable TV watchers. And then they become to believe it. So, I mean, if I was to ask you to ask me a question, it'd be this. You'd say, hey, James, you know how you're always polling and surveying everyone in your life on both sides of the party to get feedback? And I'd say, yes. And you'd say, well, what are you hearing? And I'd say, I'm hearing the same thing that I heard 4 years ago and 8 years ago with a twist. I'm hearing from Biden supporters that Wall Street is roaring, he fixed all of Trump's problems, and at least he's better than Trump because Trump is the absolute devil incarnate. I'm like, okay, fine. And I'm hearing from Trump supporters that literally, if Trump doesn't win, that the immigration problem at the border, that within a couple of years, there'll be literally no European Americans left in America. There'll all be Mexican and Guatemalan. And I'm hearing these things. And they're insane. But I'm also hearing something else. I've got a friend who has a daughter at the University of Texas. She's in her early 20s. She's Gen Z. And she told her father, who related to me, if there was any year for a third party candidate to emerge, and if not win, but at least change the system, this is the year. Now, this is Gen Z, and this is not the first time I've heard this from young people. What do you think about that? You've got Bobby Kennedy, who has name recognition, and he's equally as Looney Tunes and just batshit crazy as the other two, but he's getting third party attention from young people that are a generation behind us, because we're Generation X, the generation of apathy, and I gladly own that, and for good reason. Look at these clowns we're voting for. Go ahead.
I think that it shows a remarkable amount of perception on the part of these young people in that they have looked around and said, look, the two-party system is stupid. It's not working. They have recognized the reality that I've been talking about for years, which is a two-party system is a one-party system. Because really, all it takes is one vote, and then you have one party who has complete control of the government. The idea that they're going to look to a third-party candidate is refreshing, right? Because in the 80s, when we were their age, looking around, a third-party candidate was simply unthinkable, right? Even if you wanted to think about it, there was no way that they could fit into life at that time. The problem comes into the dearth of candidates for third party outside of people that believe in the healing power of crystals.
Doesn't everybody, Mark? In fact, I've got my crystals in front of me.
But you're not running for president, James, so you're not in the bell curve.
I would answer this like this, is I think that young lady's on to something. The millennials took a lot of heat for no reason, and the millennials is a massively large political power if they want it to be. They're as big as the baby boomers, but they haven't really taken hold yet. You don't really know which way the millennials are going. Gen Z is going a certain direction. They're more libertarian. They're more independent. They're more likely to feud with their parents, and on and on and on. Millennials, I think, bought into the American dream, but by the time it was their turn to like get their share of it, it had already died. And with Gen Z, they're looking around and saying, I don't really give a shit about Democrats or Republicans. I see what's going on in the real world. Right? Because they're in, some of them are in college now, some are just getting out, some are entering college, some are entering the workforce, some are entering the military. And so if you're a Gen Z and you're 18 to 25 at this point in your life, like, oh, that's great. I could join the military and maybe I could go fight in Ukraine or fight in the Gaza Strip or fight in the Strait of Taiwan. And for what? And if you're getting out of college, oh, great. Maybe I could possibly get a job where I'm vastly underpaid and can't afford to live in the town that the company I work for is in. By the way, don't worry. The adults have this handled right now. I mean, just look at the great Joseph Biden or the mythological martyr Donald Trump. I mean, their whole life, really, Mark, if you think about it, Trump's been around 9 years. Their whole adult life and their teenage life as well has been dominated by one thing. Trump is great, or Trump is the end of the democracy as we know it. That's all they've heard, right? And they've been lied to on both accounts. He's neither as bad as advertised, nor nearly as great as his supporters think. And young kids, if they're nothing else, you can't really BS them.
That's true. And let's get one thing straight. Our system is highly redundant, meaning there are lots of protections. Someone like Clown A or Clown B cannot destroy the democracy simply by virtue of screaming obscenities into a microphone. If that could happen, this country would have gone down in flames in the 30s.
Or it might have gone down in the flames after the first election that Andrew Jackson lost a couple hundred years ago, where he later said, 190 years ago, my only regret is not hanging my vice president. So if people think politics is bad now, it's always been rough. There's just rougher times. I mean, you may want to ask Abraham Lincoln, you know, how his political era went. I mean, when he was alive.
I suspect that Donald Trump has similar sentiments about his vice president. Whether or not you like Donald Trump, whether or not you think he's the devil incarnate, don't add the prospect of President Trump destroying the country to your list of things to be anxious about, because can't, won't, not going to happen. Now, if we're going to talk about people that can actually destroy the country, that's a separate show. Has nothing to do with any of the clowns running for office.
This sounds way more interesting, though. Well, Mark, because there's a couple arguments that take hold with the base of both parties. Argument for Democrat against Trump. There is no moral equivalence, meaning Trump is so bad that if you vote for him this time, now mind you, Mark, this is the most important election in the history of the country since the last election, which was the most important election in the history of the country. And look what we got for our money 4 years ago. You produced a show I did, Mark, on election night 2020. It's a YouTube show. And at the end of that night, the election hadn't been called yet. And we ended the night by saying, I'll see you guys in 4 years. Hopefully the election will be over by then. The election was over in a couple of days. But due to the propaganda hit pieces put out by the Trump campaign on the election results, the election never really ended. But I won't absolve the Democrats for then trying to get Trump arrested and indicted in all 50 states and every county to do two things. Keep him from running again, which is his constitutional right. As much as I cannot stand this guy, he has a right to run for president. And he won his party's nomination. And if the American people want him back, they'll get him back. So what the Democrats did is martyred this guy during his lifetime. He's more popular now amongst his base and Republicans, certain Republicans, than ever. Now, a lot of Republicans, like a gentleman I recently met who's, you know, from the Vietnam War era and a longtime Republican and voted for Trump twice, won't vote for him again due to Trump's behavior after the last election leading up to January 6th. So when the Democrats say that all Republicans are sycophants for Trump, they're not. They're just as disgusted with him as the rest of us, but they're equally, if not more, disgusted with what Joe Biden has done, specifically doing nothing he promised to do, stabilize the country, inferring he'll just run for one term to calm things down because he knew he was old. Now he thinks he's FDR.
Now he doesn't know he's old, so he's running again.
Right, right. So now there's this race not to the bottom, because we hit bottom 4 years ago. There's this race even further down into the sewer of, well, Joe Biden's mentally incapacitated. Well, Donald Trump is too. Huh.
What worries me more about who's running the country with these octogenarians or soon-to-be octogenarians or in the Oval Office is that they're certainly not running the country, okay? Go to your local nursing home or assisted retirement living home. These are individuals that have led long, full lives. They've contributed to society. They've been productive, but they're on the tail end of their productive and cognitive years, okay? We're not putting those people in charge of Hewlett-Packard or Boeing, or maybe we should put them in charge of Boeing. We're not putting them in charge.
You definitely don't want to be a whistleblower for Boeing.
Yeah. Point being is that they certainly won't be running the country. It will be somebody else. And to me, this is the greatest concern of putting a senior citizen in office, is that they're not running the country. So who is? It's their aides. It's their chief of staff. Maybe it's even the former president, which people have alluded to. Maybe it's the president's wife, which we know has happened in the United States. That's the biggest problem with putting one of these codgers in office, is that you really don't know what's going on. And guess what? They do have their finger on the nuclear trigger. So that's also a consideration.
Yeah. Like, you know, for instance, Donald Trump in 2016, he was asking generals, we have nukes, why don't we use them? Okay. Well, if you have to ask that question, you know, it's like, you know, if you have to ask how much it is, maybe.
The nuance is in the phrasing. Why can't we use nuclear weapons? Right.
Right. And if you have to ask that question, and Biden, equaling Trump with his State of the Union a few weeks ago, you know, more or less just flaunting war in Putin's face, as if war is free of blood and treasure. And what would we get out of it by taunting a guy across the world? And this is the other thing, too, Mark. People want to talk about Trump being a disaster. Now, I give Obama a chance, I give Trump a chance, and I gave Biden a chance, because we all really had to give Biden a chance coming out of COVID, the COVID era, the George Floyd era, everything that was happening. The country needed a stabilizing force. Joe Biden decided to out-Trump Trump, decided to start attacking Trump personally, using curse words, attack reporters. What we're looking at here, Mark, is a real-life WWE professional wrestling version of a presidential election. That's all this is. And there's major issues going on. And so the old phrase used to be this. I'm just voting for the lesser of two evils. And my response always was, well, you're still voting for evil then, by your own calculation. And it's an expression. It's people saying, well, I don't really like either of them, but this guy might be a little better. Everybody knows, Mark. Everybody. The people that are going to go pull the lever for Biden or Trump know that they're awful. There's some fanatics out there that think that they're the saviors, right? But most everybody else, most of the adults in the room know they're terrible, but they're going to do it anyway. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter who wins. As you've said before, we've already lost. These are the two worst presidential candidates maybe in American history, definitely since Carter and Ford in 76.
Now that we've decided that none of the above is better versus Clown A and Clown B, let's take a minute to talk about Clown C, whose only platform for running is that he has a familiar family name in politics.
I would disagree with that. I think that helps him tremendously. The fact that he's not a cousin of the Kennedys, he's not married into the Kennedy family, that he's the nephew of the former president, and he's the son of the former senator from New York and former attorney general. I think it does harken back to an era kind of like with the Biden people. Okay, we'll get Obama back, right? Is, you know, the lost presidency of the Kennedys, the lost potential of his father. He's striking at the right time because people love a maverick. It's why they love John McCain. And they love someone who goes, in fact, his uncle John, as we call JFK, wrote a book called Profiles in Courage. Bobby Kennedy Jr. has tapped into what the young lady from Texas talked about. If not now, when, and why not now? And yes, but also Bobby Jr. is very likable, right? He had a good environmental political career in the early 2000s, not an extremist. He was addicted to heroin in the 80s. And back then that made you political, like nuclear, right? But now it's like, oh, if you haven't done heroin, you can't be a candidate, right? And so the fact that he broke with his own party, a lot of his own family has walked away from him on this. And he is the only person running on the idea that there's too much government. Because I don't give a crap what the Republicans say. They're even bigger government than the Democrats, right? The debt went up more under Trump than it did under Obama, prorated for 4 years. More government agencies, more everything, more police control, more loss of civil liberties, more chaos in the streets. So the only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is which corporation is paying for it. And these corporations don't care about you or me or the MAGA or the woke. They just care about making money. And they're going to support whoever's going to make them the most. They don't care. They don't give a crap if that's Trump or Biden or whomever. Bobby Kennedy is actually the one running in the face of that. He's taken over the mantra of Bernie Sanders and Trump in 2016. But he's splitting the difference because he's going to pull from Trump's people due to his anti-government COVID stance. And I'm saying that gently. Some people might say his ridiculous conspiracy theory. He's also going to pull from the dissatisfied Democrats who like his family name and who also realize that Joe Biden freaking lied to them about everything he was going to do.
Well, he wouldn't be a politician if he hadn't done that.
Yeah, but you can't lie that badly and that boldfacedly and then immediately come out and start acting the other way.
So Bobby Kennedy is the first legitimate third-party candidate we've had since Ross Perot in 92 when he ran on the reform ticket. But Bobby Kennedy has recently made what we in the political analysis field consider to be a grievous error in terms of his political strategy.
Well, also, first of all, let me go back to Bobby Kennedy. He has a lot of money. He has a lot of donors. So he's the first third-party candidate since Ross Perot that can play the game on the same level. He can run a campaign in 50 states. He can get a lot of volunteers. He can get big-name endorsements. He can get on all the TV shows. He's got a little bit of celebrity because of his name and his funding. Now, here's the problem. When you're running for president, if you're not the president, there's one key decision you get to make to show the American people you can be presidential. And that's, who do you select for your vice president? John McCain selected Sarah Palin. He took a winnable election, and he lost easily. Donald Trump took Mike Pence, which locked up his conservative base and made Trump look like a better human being than he was. Good political choice. Robert Kennedy Jr. floated a weather balloon about quarterback Aaron Rodgers and former governor of Minnesota and crazy person Jesse Ventura about being his running mate. And I was kind of liking Bobby Kennedy until then. And so I was going to vote for him, but he was starting to interest me. But if you can't take your campaign and your candidacy seriously, then how can anyone else? Right? And then the person he chose for vice president is an unknown businesswoman from California. How can you tell people to vote for you and take you seriously when you're naming someone no one's ever heard of? You know, in the end, Mark, the presidency is a political job. So it wouldn't hurt to have some political experience, or it wouldn't hurt to have a known name. And when Trump ran, he was out there on issues. He was clear about a lot of things from 2012 to 2016. He was a known commodity. How is Bobby Kennedy going to do anything? One, he has no political experience. Two, the person he nominated for his vice presidency, although they have an admirable personal story and they're financially successful, what political bump are they going to get from this? And I'll tell you, none.
No. In fact, he sank his candidacy with that decision because it can only go down from where it is. It's not going up. Bobby Kennedy is running on an anti-establishment platform. Whether he says so or not, that's what he is. He's saying, I'm not part of the establishment. Anyone who's familiar with his charity work and other things knows that he's anti-establishment. Really, what he needed to do was pick an establishment VP, because he's already going to pull, right now, I would say we'd pull a larger part of the Republican sentiment more than the Democrat sentiment. So he needs to tap into the establishment vote, people that can go, okay, he's kind of a weirdo, but his VP makes me feel better about voting for the weirdo instead of clown A and clown B.
I got to tell you, Mark, that's not what my polling tells me, because, you know, I'm constantly polling our audience and the people that listen to our show and all the people that I interact with. His supporters are coming from the Democrats on a 2-to-1 basis. The Republicans still hate him because his name is Kennedy. He's getting some, right? He's getting younger people.
So his name is a bigger draw than I would have expected.
I would have agreed with you before I started polling, right? And I don't do polls like other people. I don't go in looking for an answer, right?
He's certainly not Democrat establishment. His family went to the White House and said he was a douchebag. He's really out there.
Remember, the average voter, if you're a Republican or conservative, the Kennedy brothers, especially the Kennedy father, especially Teddy Kennedy, these are liberal democratic establishment quasi-socialists, right? I'm not talking about people like you and me that talk about this every day and research it and study it and engage in it. I'm talking about the average voter. The average Republican voter, when they hear the name Kennedy, they think Teddy Kennedy. They think Chappaquiddick. They think liberal. They think self-entitled, rich, spoiled, corrupt.
Yeah, all those things are true. What's your point?
My point is, when you say he's pulling more with Republicans, I disagree with that. And I don't think the numbers bear that out. They might be bearing it out on national polls, but what I always say about polls, they're never right. The people I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot at this point, the people that like Bobby or people like me and you, in the last election, Mark, it was the highest voter turnout in 120 years. Some 62 to 65% of eligible voters voted. But that means 34 to 31% didn't. So the people like me who did not vote in the last election, there's roughly 80 million of us. We could have won the election if we had a candidate. We'd have got more votes than Trump and maybe a little less than Biden. So we're a political force. Our non-vote is a vote. That means no one earned our vote. And Bobby Kennedy steps into that void, just like Ross Perot and Ralph Nader after him and George Wallace in the 70s and on and on. Bobby Kennedy has a beautiful opportunity here, maybe not to win the presidency, but to fracture the third party system, to get people like me, the 80 million people like me that are like, I'm not playing your game. Because people say, well, James, if you don't vote in the presidential election, you can't complain. And I say, no, the opposite is true. You voted for this damn shit show. Now you live with it, right? You love the two party system. Your guy won last time Trump, or your guy won this time Biden. This is your world. This is where you guys live. You can't complain because you vote for this. You're a part of it. I'm not a part of it. So I want Bobby Kennedy to do well. I'm rooting for him. But unfortunately, well, look at him. I mean, come on.
Well, like I said, he torched his campaign. Could have gone with someone like, say, Nikki Haley. Or maybe he goes the other side of the aisle and goes to retiring Senator Joe Manchin. He could have gone to a longtime political stalwart the way Barack Obama went with Joe Biden in 08 and said, look, I'm new to the game, but I've got my pal with me who's been here since before most of you guys were born.
Or like Trump did in 2016. I know I'm trying to get you Christian coalition conservatives to vote for me, and I don't believe in anything you believe in, but look at Mike Pence. He's up there in Indiana. He's Christian coalition to the core, right? He'll arrest you for thinking about an abortion, right? And I'm exaggerating there. So it's a choice to shore up a base and to expand your appeal, right? Obama hit a home run. Trump hit a home run. John McCain, well, we all know what happened there.
Play this for RFK Jr. and have him drop his VP and pick a new one. Because that'll do two things. Number one, it gets him the political clout and coattails that he needs. And number two, it gets him the press coverage for changing horses in the middle of a race.
I agree with you, because here's the thing. In fact, I can't even remember the name of the person he chose, and I'm sure she's a wonderful human being. But Mark, let me ask you this, and this is a gotcha question. What was the name off the top of your head of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's running mate in 2016?
Hillary Clinton had a running mate?
Exactly. Earnestly, can you answer the question?
No, I can't.
No, you can't, right? That's why she didn't win. You can't, Mark. This is just a few years ago. What I mean is, I didn't do that to, like, you know, show you what there, right? Nobody could name her running mate from just 7 years ago, right? That's how bad it was. And I can't remember the name of RFK Jr.'s running mate. And I study this stuff. RFK could have taken Manchin and pulled the centrist Manchin voters. He could have taken Nikki Haley and taken all the rational, reasonable, moderate Republican voters. So it either tells me he's not serious about his campaign, he's getting bad advice, or he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And you know what? Here's the thing. Neither does Trump or Biden. What's the difference with you? You get one chance to look presidential, and you don't know what you're doing. Well, these guys don't know what they're doing. So you're not a third party. You're just, as you say, clown C.
We've been talking extemporaneously.